Welcome back, Real Estate Rockstars. Here's what you can expect to learn in today's show. Tips on getting started if you're new to the industry right now. A deep dive into inspections. What inspections to recommend, what to look for, and costs to expect throughout. And if you stick around to the end, you will get a solid batch of wisdom that you can only get after living agent life for years and doing a lot of self-development along the way. Today's guest is Stamie Kerkasidis out of Los Angeles, California. She has been an agent for 21 years and is currently ranked number 7 on social media for Los Angeles and number 34 in all of California by Property Spark. And in 2022, she was recognized by Real Trends as a top 1.5% agent. Stamie's just a cool, authentic human, which you guys will see in just a second. Real Estate Rockstars, let's welcome Stamie. Stamie, you just let me know that you love dopamine hits in real estate. What do you mean by that?
Well, you see, I'm not an adrenaline junkie, but I am a dopamine junkie, which means I love highs, not lows, not so much, but I do have a background in stand up. So, you know, the payoff of the crowd laughing at your joke. So it gives you like that dopamine hit, or, you know, everyone's taking ice baths now to get that dopamine hit in the morning, or you run. Well, I find real estate does that to you. You know, you get so close to a deal, or you get close to a client, or you win a multiple offer situation, or it's just, you're constantly getting those dopamine hits. And just when you want to, you know, go lay in your bed and cry that you haven't had a deal in 3 months, you get a phone call for someone who's like, you know, I'm looking for a house that's, you know, I just found one down the street. It's 2.8. And you're like, I'm alive again. So then you come out of your bed and you're ready to go. So
And that, I mean, that makes sense. The highs and lows and the, what do you do to get those calls? What in your business, like, what's bringing business into your business?
So I've been an agent for 22 years in Los Angeles right now. I mean, I'm very honest to say that I haven't necessarily kept up with everyone like I should have. And at the end of the day, when your business is slow, it all goes back to keeping in touch with your clients. I mean, there's one day I do keep in touch with my clients, and that is on Valentine's Day, because I feel like I love kids and I love all those stuffies at CVS that dance and sing. So I always make like packages for the families, or, you know, the single people, and I drop them off on Valentine's Day, because I feel like Christmas is saturated and Valentine's is so fun. So that's the way I stay in touch with them. But relationships.
So when you are touching base on Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. what can we, like, let's dig deeper into that.
Yeah.
So do you have like a CRM that you have your list of everyone, you literally just like everyone gets a goodie bag, or how do you choose your people?
I pick like my top people that I have. It's usually around 15 people or 20, I believe. And then every year I do something different. It always has like balloons. If they have kids, I get them either a stuffy or something that moves, something that's loud and obnoxious where they go, thanks a lot.
Yeah. The parents will love it. Yeah.
But it's something that
good work.
Yeah. Thanks. Something that makes everyone laugh, you know, and smile on Valentine's Day. And then I drop them off in bags and I make my rounds. If someone's home, I'll say hi. And if they're not, then I just leave it at their front door, which I think is very cute.
So you stay in touch through Valentine's Day. And then because you've been an agent for 22 years in LA,
yeah.
you have built a relationship with on social media for sure. You have an audience that is a good way to nurture as well. Stamie, if you were starting over today in real estate, mm-hmm. what would you do?
Well, I'd get some antidepressants just to keep me going, you know, just
necessary.
Make sure I don't quit after a few months. What I would do if I were starting today, you know how when I started, you know what I did? It was the simplest thing. And it was, I literally made the simplest email and I sent it out to like 25 of my friends and just would like be like, oh, and it was crazy times because there were multiple offers. It was before you needed any proof to get a loan. So everyone was buying a place or a second place or a third place. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's how I got my first client. one of my friends, she was a stand-up comic, and she was my first client from that email list. So right now it's a little harder because it's like we're getting hit from so many angles right now with real estate, from social media. Los Angeles, like, it goes like this in Los Angeles. It goes actor, masseuse, waiter in there, and then, you know, real estate agent. So it's like one out of three people in LA have their real estate license. So everyone knows a realtor here in Los Angeles. So you have to prove that you know what the hell you're doing. And in the beginning, we all get so upset when our friends use another agent, you know, but then the longer you're in the business, you realize, of course they didn't use me. I've been an agent for 2 months and this is like a really big deal. The transaction is millions of dollars, you know, so. And then also discloses all their finances, which a lot of people don't want to share, you know, with their agent. Even if the lender doesn't show it to you, you have to have an idea of their finances, right? So I would just go somewhere where the office gives you energy. You know, I need energy to feel alive. So I go to an office that inspires you, and start talking to people, and then believe you can get a deal. You have to believe it to make it happen. So one step at a time, you know, call people. It's always call people, you know, and I would have to say my biggest weakness as an agent is calling people, but I'm very good at texting and I'm very good at, sending like, memes or funny stuff or, you know, forwarding stuff on Instagram. So I do keep in touch that way. So face to face, I think, is the way to get business.
And then how do you learn what you're doing though? Like if you were starting over today, you're going to go to the office, you're going to call people and talk to people, but that first person, we're just going to screw up everything on them and learn, sorry, sign this disclosure. How would you recommend people learn so they don't screw someone up on round one?
So every office has their training. They used to do mentorships. Now they can't make you have a mentor because we're independent contractors. So some people join teams and the team oversees it. I mean, to this day, every deal I do, I learn something. There isn't one deal that's been the same. There isn't one deal where you go, oh, geez, I never even heard of that thing. Like, what is this? Or the sellers are so every friggin' deal. And I've paid, you know, and in the beginning, I made a pact with myself. If I made a mistake, I'm going to pay for it. So if I forgot to write in the fridge, I paid for it. If I forgot to write in a washer dryer, I paid for it. You know, so I would just refer to someone who has experience to help you, like find someone you trust just to go over it, go over your paperwork. And there's so many resources now. I mean, you can go, screw that. Just talk to someone in your office that you like. Don't go to YouTube. It just takes too long to find the appropriate, you know, video, you know, that will help you. But your office is really the best source.
If you were starting over today, step one, call people, talk to people. Don't avoid the conversations. The power starts in the conversations. And then step two is go to your office or wherever your training source is and find someone to shadow, learn from, go to training, you know, walk you through deals, et cetera.
Yeah. And then consume as much as you can. Consume, go, you know, hashtag real estate marketing, hashtag top realtor, and just watch all their social media. Watch, like, I mean, literally everything you can get your eyes on. And I'm not telling you to do the same thing as them, but it just like creates energy. And, you know, they tell you to spend time on the money making actions, and social media really doesn't, who knows how much money it makes you in the long run. I mean, you could spend all your time making a video and you'll get a client in 2 years. So, but watch what everyone's doing, you know, just keep watching and learning, like be like a sponge.
And I was watching what you were doing before we jumped on this call. I was on your Instagram page and you were talking about inspections in LA and how previously, you know, when you were representing a buyer who was buying a house and the people who were selling when they bought the house only got like a general inspection. Right. So could you talk about what inspections you recommend, the, you know, why, pros, cons, etc.
Sure. So I used to only do a general, right? So they used to allow us to have like the whole physical contingency period or just a few. Now it's like 17 days. So they used to give it to us, right? And then it was like we could do 14 days. But now they're like a week contingency period or like 10 days, which is a really tight timeline. So I used to do a general, and then if he flagged anything, I would get a specialist. But then I learned A general is just a general. He's not a specialist. So why am I wasting my time just doing a general? Why don't I just bring in all the specialists at the same time? So I try to do all my inspections in one day. And I know it's overkill, but you know, shit rolls downhill. So if anything goes south in this deal after they buy it, you know whose fault it is? It's yours.
Yours.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so inspections are expensive now. So, but luckily my clients haven't had an issue. Like, you know, they're not like, I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I always recommend sewer scope general. I always recommend, now I found a moisture guy. So he goes around with a moisture gun. And if he finds moisture, like he can find mold easily, like he'll test the spot. So which I think is great, you know, and mold isn't as scary as it used to be. Now you can handle it much easier. And then what are we doing? We're doing pool. We're doing chimney. We're doing roof. I did geo because this wall had retaining walls, even though it wasn't like high in the hills. And then again, every deal I do, I learn something new what to add. Now, drainage, I just started adding drainage because, you know, a lot of properties don't have accurate drainage. Now, what gets you into trouble is, depending on what type of market it is, you know, those reports discover stuff. So then you have to deal with the seller who has lived there for 10 years, never knew it had a problem. And they're like, well, I never have a problem with him, so I'm not going to give you a credit. But the good news is at least your buyer's aware of it and it's not something new where they're going to get pissed off at you for not, you know, letting them know that this is a possibility. So like I have inspections tomorrow. I have 8 inspections scheduled.
Damn. Mm-hmm. And could we go through each one of those inspections and talk about what you're looking for? So like in the sewer scope, what are you looking for?
So sewer scope, we're looking for any cracks so the sewer line goes from your house to the city. It connects in the street. If there's any cracks in it, there's roots. If it breaks and there's a lot of roots, then it backs up into your house and they have to replace the sewer line. That's a really big ticket if there's any issues.
Roughly how expensive?
It could be anywhere. Okay, for example, this one deal I did, there was a little offset where the plastic sewer line from the house connected to the city. And the quote to fix that little offset, which was 2 inches, was $22,000. So, yeah, but you don't have to fix it right away. Like if you maintain it and jet the line, like it'll last. But, and then, so it can be that it can be anywhere from like 3,000 all the way to 40,000. It's just really expensive. And they came up with a new thing now. If your sewer line has issues, they can sleeve it, which is like a sleeve they make, you know, on the spot. And, but the sleeves only last for 15 years. So a lot of people don't like doing that.
And how much does a sleeve cost?
That about 6,000. So it cuts the cost.
Better than 22.
Yeah, exactly. And then chimney's a big ticket because it depends who your inspector is, because some inspectors are deal killers and scare people. And chimneys can be anywhere from like $400 to $40,000, depending on what the problem is. So, and roof is a big one. And you know roofs, they can be anywhere from $2,000 to $60,000, depending on the size of the house. So
for the chimney real quick, so I've had an inspection come back once where like the chimney was literally separating from the house, like leaning over, going to fall. What else are you looking for with chimneys?
Well, some have like earthquake damage. So, I don't know the terminology. Okay, so I'll tell you this. So the firebox, like all the grouting has fallen out. So it's like a fire hazard because fire can get inside now and behind the fireplace is wood. So that's one of the things. Always at the, like on the roof, if it doesn't have the appropriate, I don't remember all the names for it.
And that's okay.
Yeah. There's so many different things. The firebox, replacing the firebox. If there's wood right next to the fireplace, you know, by your feet, that's not allowed anymore because that's a fire hazard. So then you're supposed to have something like tile or, but it's like endless. They always find something.
Okay. And the Geo is one I wanted to ask about because I have never had a geo inspection. What does that mean? What is that?
So it's a geological report. So in Los Angeles, there's a lot of houses in the hills. So basically what they do is they look like the topography of where the house is located, and they tell you what type of dirt it's on, or hillside or bedrock or where it's located. And then they see how the house is built. And, you know, there's a lot of foundation walls in Los Angeles holding up like the dirt from the yard. So they'll say, oh, you know, the wall's leaning, the wall needs to be replaced. I don't like the way this looks. You should have, you know, it needs drainage. But there's various things that could happen. And retaining walls are really expensive. I mean, basically at this point, everything is really expensive. I'm going to stop saying that.
Yeah, dude. Just your houses too. Like, I think this one was like 1.8 million.
Yeah.
I think. So, totally. I mean, dude, back in my day, I was selling a lot in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and my average sales price year one was $155,000.
Oh, that's amazing.
No, it's crushing because it's like, dude, if I just would have moved to which no regrets, like I'm glad that I built my business the way that I did, but I would look at these different markets and be like, or different types of sales. You know, if I would have gone to a more luxury neighborhood or just like a higher price point neighborhood and really like farmed it, as opposed to I worked a lot with investors who were looking for like foreclosures and bottom of the barrel. It's just interesting to look back now, having spoken to so many people and done a lot of reflection on my business. And it's like, there's people out there who are regularly closing properties that are over $1 million. And the work is arguably similar. The commission is not.
The work is similar. So the house that you're talking about is actually, it's 2.4 now. They bought it for 1.8, right?
Oh, gotcha.
So the higher the price point goes here, the more shit you have to deal with, because then a business manager comes in. See, a lot of people don't know, like people who have a lot of money have business managers. So basically you'll show that client a house, but then the business manager takes over. And then you have to use his inspectors and you have to do everything they tell you to do. But back
I've
to
never
what
heard of oh, that. Go ahead. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's okay. Back to what you were saying is like, it's funny because I feel like if you're in real estate for 20 years, you should be rich. Like you should be a millionaire. And I'm not there yet. I mean, I own property, but like when I reflect on the mistakes I've made, and granted, like, I got divorced and that took a few years to get over. And then I sold property too early, but I flipped properties. I made money, but I'm just saying, when you look back, you're like, Jesus, I could have bought that, you know? And that's what I say. I go, it's okay to get older, but I wish we could just forget how much everything used to cost. you know, you just forget.
Yeah.
Like but the good news is now that you have that experience as an agent, you can say, hey, listen, I'm not full of shit. I've been doing this for so long. I've seen property values go up. You know, this is an opportunity for you. Take advantage. It's not a full seller's market yet. This is your time to pounce and get a property.
Totally. And there's nothing better than being able to say things with confidence. And I think that's one of the things, like in the beginning, when you're starting out, you're like listening to you on a podcast and you're taking notes on what a geo report is. And then you can go to your client and have that conversation. But there's a difference in regurgitating information, the level of confidence that comes with that statement as to having lived it. Then you're like, no, listen, I know this in my bones.
I've seen it. I drove by this house in West Hollywood, that I used to walk by, and I walked by it. I think it was before I got my license, but I walked by, it was this cute little small house on Doheny, and it was $650,000. And this is probably 20 years, 25 years ago, 20. And I was like, these people are crazy. They're ridiculous. This house, $650,000, you know, now it's worth 2.5.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't know that. And
you don't know.
And then you also go, God, I wish I had a mentor or someone who I would even listen to. The point is, you might not even listen to your mentor. I mean, let's be honest. We're all in our 20s. We're not going to listen to, it depends who we're going to listen to. So, but as long as we learn as we grow, you know, and then take that knowledge and use it for the future, we all have time to, you know, get ahead in the game. So
totally. And more time than you'd think too. Like I remember starting out, it's like everything was so urgent. It was like survival for the next month, for the next 2 months, yeah, 6 months yeah. was like a long stretch for me. And now it's like, oh, what am I doing for the next 10 years? So it's just like yeah. a different mindset about it.
Totally.
All
totally. Yeah.
Okay. I want to loop it back though to a little bit with the inspection. So we got mm-hmm. all of these inspections yeah. and we have a rough idea of what they cost. So question in talking to either the business manager or the client at this point, like what expectations did you manage? Like how did you manage expectations ahead of time? And then what does the conversation look like when all these reports come back?
Well, it depends who has the power.
Yeah.
It depends who has the power. And it's like for my clients right now, they're like, you know, this is like unfair. And I go, I'm sorry. You know, like it is unfair and it happens every time. And they have someone as a backup and then they use the backup as leverage. And then you really want the house, but they're like, well, this is all we're giving you. We have a backup. And it's, but the truth is like you're buying a house as is. So they don't really have to give you anything legally. Right. But it sucks when you don't get like the credit that you want to get. So I prepare everyone like business managers. They're a little hard. Some are harder than others. If you have a relationship with your client, then you can talk to your client directly, which helps. But if you business managers are like, no, yeah, nope, we're not doing that. And they'll push it as far as they can. But then that's when you have to go to your client and be like, this is where we're at. Do you want to move forward? And then they'll be like, I want to move forward. Yeah. I mean, most people move forward. But I just did a deal where we gave them a credit. We almost gave them half and they're like, no, that's not enough. Or, you know, give us more. We're going to cancel. And my client was getting divorced. So he's like, and we didn't have a backup because the rates just hit 8%. So it was at that window. And then we gave it to him and it was just kind of like, who has the power?
Yeah. And when you are going, hypothetically, you're representing the buyer. When you're going to present this to the listing agent, is there any like conversation that you have to, or how does that look like? Or do you just like email, hey, we want $100,000. What is that? Look like?
No. So hopefully you have a relationship with the listing agent. Some of them are, some you may not, but some you do. Sometimes when it's a team, it's hard to get to the head agent, which I find frustrating sometimes, but yeah, you have a talk ahead of time and you say, look, you know, I'm good. Here's the deal. You can't take it personally, right? And the problem is a lot of agents take it personally. And it's like, dude, this is your job. This is business. Why are you getting all upset? Like, I'm going to present what my clients want. You're going to say your clients aren't going to give that credit. Okay. Present it to your clients and then tell me what your clients said. That's all. I don't need your emotions. Like, you can go take your emotions and shove them up your butt. Like, I don't need to see your, have a temper tantrum. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to get a credit for my clients. So what I'll do is I'll prep them. I won't tell them the number, but I'll be like, hey, these are the issues that my clients are concerned about. And then I'll write a really nice email and I'll break down everything we're going for and ask nicely, like, you know, hopefully we can come up with, you know, with an amount that works. And then I'll have ChatGPT check it, make sure it looks good. And there you have it.
Okay, gotcha. You just mentioned ChatGPT. What other tools are you using in your business? Tools or systems? Anything?
I just started using Follow Up Boss with the new company I'm with. So I'm importing. It's going to be my new CRM. I think I'll be making calls from it because you have your own number from Follow Up Boss. And then I think you text from it. I mean, you can do everything in there. I don't know all the details of it, but I'm learning it. And it seems to have a lot of options. And then I spent a lot of time on social media, learning different things on social media. Cause I'm a creative. So I like doing it because I'm not doing stand up right now or my podcast. So I like to have an outlet and, you know, there's a lot of opportunity because I have a funny family. And then also real estate's so interesting. So I try to blend it all together, you know? And so I spend a lot of my time on social media. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Any other, like if you were to look at your phone right now, what apps would you have on there that you use? in your business?
LinkedIn. I update LinkedIn and all those, you know, Facebook, and I try to stay on top of those with the bios and everything, just to. And then I listen to Gary Vee a lot, and then he'll be like, "You gotta post on everything," and then I'm like, "Damn it, I didn't update this." So then I'll go back to that, and then you gotta post 15,000 times on each thing every day, and then I'm like, "Damn it, I've only posted twice." No,
No, for real though, that is what happens. And then the should in your head always like, "Oh, I should be doing this," and then your head is spinning and all the things you should be doing,
and then you get overwhelmed, and then you're like, "I'm not doing anything." Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Dude, have you heard of repurpose.io?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Are you using it for all of your platforms?
Repurpose.io. Remind me what that is.
That's the one where you can get an account. And granted, this is me. I don't personally use it. I just talk to people all the freaking time. And this is one of the ones that they told me about. And basically where you can get an account and then you can post one post for socials, and it will repurpose to all of the other platforms. So Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, blah, blah, blah.
I have used an app like that. But then they say like, you can't post the same thing on every app.
It needs to be different per platform. And TikTok algorithm is different than Instagram.
I try on TikTok, but TikTok really, my head wants to explode when I'm on TikTok too long. But the truth is now, like, everything's an ad. Like, I don't even know. Instagram's all ads. TikTok's all ads. Amazon Prime has ads now. Like, I don't even know. Prime Video has ads.
That was a crushing discovery for me for Amazon Prime. I'm like, what do you know?
Last night, I turned it on. I go, they have commercials now? You want me to pay more? So basically, we're just.
Forward.
Yeah, we're being sold all the time. It's exhausting.
Right. It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So social apps, mm-hmm. CRM, you know, email, chat with company. Okay, so what in your business, like what is working now?
I made a really drastic change and I left my office that I've been with for 11 years. And I went to a different office in Beverly Hills that, you know, is a team, which I've never been on a team. So I don't even know if I'm going to be a good bottom, but I'll try. I've only been a boss, so I'll see, you know, I want to give it a shot. So like I'm in a community and I have like, you know, but so far it's good and it has motivated me because, you know, they'll like put the other agents' numbers up and then you're like, oh, look at their number, you know? So, and then they're like, we got to meet once a month. We have a coach for you. You have to do all this stuff. So that I decided to like shake my whole world up and change everything. And that's made a difference because before that, when you don't have a deal and you can't manage your head, you're just, you know, your energy's off. And if your energy's off, you can't produce money or you can't produce a client because your vibration's off and you're not going to attract something good. So.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that, a lot of times maybe we fail to realize the power of our environment and how powerful it is to make a change. I recently moved from Charlotte, North Carolina to Lexington, Kentucky, and like just shook up, you know, my living situation and really just my environment and the fresh start. And it's so impactful. It can be.
Totally.
You know, to move in, whether it's an office or whether it's a moving a house down the street or a new city, you have the opportunity to completely reset your habits, your goals, and build your life around those goals and make it easier for them to do it. Like easier for you to do it.
Yeah, for sure. To start.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, to start. I love my old office. I had an office. I could shut the door. I love my manager. I could go out and go to my favorite coffee shop, but it was too comfortable, you know, and comfort equals death. Honestly, it's like we all get too comfortable and then we don't push ourselves. And then before you know it, like a decade's gone by and you're like not where you want to be. And I think the hardest part about getting older is like not living up to your potential and then realizing, oh my God, time's running out. And I don't mean to be like morbid like that, but I lost my mom a few years ago, which kind of shook everything up. And now you're like, oh my God, time's going really fast. And I need to do what I need to do to get where I want to go. Cause I've had big goals my whole life and I need to get in touch with that again. And it's not for the money or anything. It, of course, it's obviously to be successful.
Money is a byproduct though.
Yeah, exactly. It's like to, I have like goals and I always saw myself at a certain place. And when I'm not there, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, there's no reason you're not at that level. Like, you know, just focus. When you focus, you can get there. So I need you to focus, Amy. Like, and that's what I've been doing. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. You feel great. Like you're not wasting your life.
Yes.
It's funny. I did an exercise the other day. I'm really, really big on like miracle mornings. Like I'm one of those people who does all of my reflection and writing and visualization, affirmations, all the things. And I did this like random exercise that I heard about on a podcast about imagining, like truly imagining what your life will look like in 20 years. And I know we say that like set your 20 year goals, whatever, but like I did it personally. I was like, holy shit, I will be 53 years old and my parents
are going to be you're a little baby.
Oh stop. I'm not. I just actually interviewed a girl who is 25 and I did this whole like Gen Z day in the life. She made me feel real old. But anyway, okay, the exercise. And then I like thought about my parents and they were going to be like 85 and my grandparents were going to be dead. And it was just this like really like situation of trying to like imagine looking down at my hands and them being 20 years older. And it like made me feel so much energy, not urgency in a bad way, like, you know, oh my God, I'm going to die if I don't do this today. Cause I'm trying to balance that too, where it's like, you want to have a sustainable level of energy and urgency built in. So that way you hit that point of, I am accomplishing, I'm hitting traction towards my goals. I'm not wasting my life and yet still being able to live in the moment and enjoy the now, you know, the here and the now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I love that you said.
It's true. No, and I think what you said with your looking down at your hands, you know, they started posting those goddamn photos on Instagram. It's a short trip and it shows the two hands, the young hand and the old hand. And I was like, do they got to post that? It's like, it's so like depressing, you know, but it is true. And once you lose a parent, your life really changes. Like, and I don't think people like realize power or the foundation that your parents give you, you know, even if they're not next to you all the time, like they're like your support system that.
Right. Well, there's a level of comfort. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, gosh, they're there if I need it. And they're the one person who I can like actually be weak in front of. There's something like that. Like I have to be strong for the whole world, but not for my parents.
Yeah. And they, you know, and you're their number one and always will be. So then you're like, oh, my childhood, you know, now I have to be an adult. I'm not ready to be an adult. You know, I have four kids. I'm still not ready to be an adult, you know, but the beauty about real estate is it's a difficult career, you know, and you have to have a certain personality for it, but it can be a really beautiful career. But it does take a lot of work to manage your brain. Like you can't be a real estate agent if you don't work. You do your miracle, mornings. Like you have to manage your brain. You can't, like, it's not a job where you can just show up and other people manage you. Like if you can't manage how you're feeling or how to focus on the positive, or then you're not going to make it in this business. Like you can't let, so that's the most amazing thing about us. Yeah.
So, okay. Having all of this, you know, 22 years experience in the game and a lot of changes in your life. And so looking ahead, you just made this drastic brokerage change. What does your 2024 look like, or as far ahead as you want to extend that time horizon?
I want to like kick ass for the next decade, buy an investment property. I want to do like Airbnb arbitrage coming soon. I mean, I've been researching. I haven't made the dive yet into it. My goal is to be in Greece every summer for 3 months. That's my goal. So I'm going to, and I just want to, I legit want to work like all the time because I like working and I want to be consistent. I want to utilize the tools that my company has. I want to utilize, you know, who they are to get bigger listings. I mean, I just want to do different. I want to take advantage of the opportunities I have. I know a lot of people. I just need to start like reaching out and staying in touch and see where that takes me. But I want to make some money in real estate. So I want to buy like two properties in the next few years and then turn my house into like a duplex. And then, anyway, I have a lot of plans.
No, I love that stuff. And I have a lot of experience in the investor side of the house. So we can talk about that at some point.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I started investing seriously back at the end of 2017. And within a couple of years, I'd gotten up to 74 rental properties.
You own 74 rental properties?
I sold off a chunk now. So I have 46 now that I'm holding. But during that time too, I had Airbnb arbitrages. I had four of them. So
Jesus.
We're going to talk. We have so much stuff to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about. And the cool thing about where you live is that it's affordability, right? Like you can,
totally.
You can really take advantage and use things. Like LA is like a nightmare. I mean, our rental rules are like a disaster. Like the,
and I've heard it's tough.
They also just made them more difficult to evict. Like, so this isn't the ideal place to do that, unfortunately. I wish it was, but
yeah.
It's too hard here.
We'll talk. I got contacts for you too.
Okay. Awesome.
But okay. So before we head to wrap up, what is something that we didn't touch on that you feel like you would, our listeners would benefit from?
What I would say to the people listening, to the newer agents, if you're listening, I would just say use the tools that God gave you. If you're a young, healthy, vibrant person, you know, take advantage of that energy you have and just be a sponge and talk to everyone in your office and don't go above and beyond. You know, I work with a lot of 25-year-olds now and I don't see anyone, and I'm not judging. I haven't been there that long enough. It's like, I don't see many people going above and beyond, you know, just do something extra. And the extra is going to keep you going because people are going to notice, because don't do what everyone else is doing. Just be a nice person and go the extra mile. You're young, take advantage of it and work as much as you can.
You're freaking speaking to my heart, because there's so much of like an exchange mentality. I feel like it's so transactional. It's like, well, I don't want to do anything extra because I'm not going to get anything for that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you are going to get so much for that, actually. Yeah. It's just, it's not tangible. You're going to learn and you're going to get opportunities and you're going to figure out what you like and what you don't like. And none of that happens from doing nothing. It all happens from doing more things.
Yeah, it happens from making an effort. People notice people who make an effort. And when you make an effort, they want to help you. Because you stand out, because no one's making an effort anymore. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's
totally. Oh, okay, cool. So wrap up question number one is, what's something cool that you have learned recently? This can be life, business, you know, whatever, whatever comes to mind.
What is something cool that I've learned recently? Oh, dang it. You know what I learned recently?
Yes. Which, I want to know.
I just noticed it. So when you're I'm not doing an ageist thing. I'm just saying, like, I'm realizing it, because when you're younger, like, all you can see thing is you're always in your head, right? So I used to work at the Palm Restaurant. It was a steakhouse. I literally waited on probably every celebrity plus the Dalai Lama. You know, like I met like everyone, the head of Hollywood when Hollywood was at its prime. But all I could think of was like, God, I don't want to be stuck here waiting tables the rest of my life, right? And what I should have been like, wow, look where I'm at. Look who I'm meeting. Look at this, like, this piece of my life that's going to be 2 to 3 years. Instead, I was in my head. And now that I'm in this office, like, I look at, like, younger agents, and all they can think they can see is themselves. Right? They're not looking outside. And meanwhile, I'm noticing every detail that's happening every single place in this large office. And what I would say is look outside yourself. Like, that's what I learned. I learned, and I'm so much more comfortable looking outside of myself than being tortured inside of my own head. So, take a look outside. That's what I've learned.
Okay. What events, if any, like conferences or, you know, whatever that are you going to in the next 12 months?
Wow. Let's see. What event's coming up here? Coldplay. Does that count?
It counts for you.
Okay. Maybe I'll go to Europe and see Emotional Oranges. That's my friend's band. They're doing a European tour next month. I would love to go to a conference. It's so funny. They're poorly advertised. And then after it happens, you're like, they show the clips from the conference and you're like, when did that conference happen? But I think what I'm going to, I want to get my contractor's license just to kind of go to school for it. So I think that would be a nice addition to my experience, because I think it's a natural progression, and then I'd have even more knowledge. I think that's the next thing I want to do. Okay. It's not a conference, but it's a class. Yeah.
It's a class. I accept. Yeah. Okay. How can listeners help you in your business?
Well, if you know someone who's looking to buy or sell real estate in the Los Angeles area, I'd be happy to help. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to help. My Instagram is StamieLA, and you'll put it in the notes. I love talking to people, and you know, I'm here to help you with anything you need. I really enjoy helping. That's one of the reasons I think I love real estate, is I really do love helping people, you know, build their future. It really feels nice. So that's how they can help me.
And that was my next question, is where can listeners find you? So other than your Instagram, is there anywhere else you want people to go, or just your Instagram?
I think at StamieLA on Instagram, and also on the new, what's it called? Anyway, the Instagram, Twitter, whatever that thing's called.
Threads. No one put
threads, right.
Got you.
Yeah. I post everything on there. And then on my link tree, I have a bunch of different links to everything.
All the things.
I'm doing.
Just click the links. Yeah. For sure.
Just click the links.
Just touch. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
and
click
same.
Them. Yes.
Listeners, same goes for me and Aaron, the owner of the show. We are The Shelby Show and Aaron Amuchastegui on the gram. As always, we love hearing from you. More and more lately. I love it. They've been chattier. You guys have been chattier. Sorry. Stevie, go on.
No, it's okay. No, I love when people talk to me on Instagram. Like, I love it. Yeah. And everyone's from all over the world or wherever they're from. And and that was when I did my podcast with Tracy. Like, I loved seeing, you know, when you go to see where people are listening from.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we had people like in Jordan, and we had people in like, it just like blows my mind that a podcast can go all over the world and reach even one person. So
But
this show was fun. Thank you for, making me feel like a rock star in real estate.
Dude, you are a rock star. And Sweet. Real estate rock stars, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.